Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Psychic Medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends.
Hey, welcome to Paranormal Horizons, and I'm Psychic Medium Sherry, and I have a co-host tonight that's sharing the limelight, and a veteran in radio and also in the paranormal, a personal friend of mine, and I speak very highly of him, and I'm going to introduce Joel Walling. Hey, Joel, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Well, how was your day?
It's all right. Anytime I have to go out and face public, I don't like it. And having to go to a grocery store on Sunday is not a good idea.
Was there a lot of people?
And I have a friend that keeps joking, that's like, anytime you have to go outdoors, you always are complaining. I'm like, no, I don't like people. There's too much people out there in the world for me. That was always my thing. If I had my choice, I'd stay indoors all the time.
Would you really? I like people when I
Pretty
want
much.
When I'm in the mood. I like both. I like being able to be by myself and just be away from people and be out in nature and enjoy my dog and my husband. But I enjoy people when I'm in the mood. And, in my job, I put my mind to it. I love people, I'm here to be of service to those that are reaching out to me. So I get what you're saying. Sometimes, you need to just kind of withdraw and stay away from all the hustle and bustle and all the and everything else.
I think it comes down to, I've been in, arenas at concerts and stuff with, 10,000 people. And that's, you're it's in a different atmosphere. But when it's like when you're in a store, this is the weekend before Thanksgiving. Well, the weekend before Thanksgiving here in the U.S. Because in Canada, Thanksgiving's in October, which is weird. No offense to any Canadians listening. I lived there for over a decade. It takes a lot of getting used to having Thanksgiving in October when you're used to it in November. This is the weekend before Thanksgiving. You literally had everybody in there buying Thanksgiving stuff. Just everybody.
Hey,
and that's when it's I'm one of those people that when I go in to shop for something, it's like in the door to what I need and out the door. That's the way I like it. And I kept missing stuff. I ended up walking around the display of Thanksgiving stuff, looking for Thanksgiving stuff about six times. Then gigantic display out in the middle of an aisle. I'm looking for stuffing. There was four different sections of stuffing, and I walked past it three times.
Oh,
a lot
my
of it's
gosh.
My fault, too. Yeah. So, it's like that kind of thing. And then all the lines, the lines are backed up. There were no carts. You walk in the door, and there was no shopping cart. It's like I said, it was just crazy in there.
Wow, huh? Yeah, we were.
How about yours? What did you do this Sunday?
we didn't go into the grocery end, but we went into the other end. And, yeah, there's a lot of people shopping and everything, but it wasn't so chaotic that we had to wait in line. I do self-checkout. I don't like standing in line and being so close to people. So I do self-checkout and got in, got what we needed, and got back. So, yeah.
You know, that's something that's different between me and my girlfriend. She does not like using self-checkout. I think self-checkout is one of the greatest things ever invented. Since the first time I ever saw it, if I have the choice of going to a checkout or self-check, I will go self-check every time. Now, if I'm buying like a ton of groceries or something like that, no, I'll go through the line because I think those people are going to the self-check with like two carts full of food. Yeah, that's just no, you know. But you know, I will go into the self-check any chance I get. Because then I just scan my stuff, I hit the door, and I'm gone. Of course, a lot of people don't like that because of the whole, you know, the self-check. They said they're taking the jobs from cashiers and all of this. I'm like, look at Walmart. They've got the same two lines open anyway. They didn't have self-check, there's two lines open. They got self-check, there's two lines open. It's still the same amount.
I'm like you. I'd rather go to self-checkout. Unless, like you said, if you have a whole big, you know, basket cart of groceries, you know, it's just very respectful to just go through the regular, you know, check line and have somebody else do that. But, hey, go ahead. Sorry about that, Joel.
No, you're good.
Okay.
Kind of breaks up a little bit.
Anyway, tonight, hey, folks, we're going to talk about, we had to think about, what are we going to talk about? I thought, wow, I saw a thing from Elizabeth Aaron. She is the girlfriend of Dr. Mercula. They've been together. She's from California. She's been living in Florida for at least 10 years, and they've been, her and Dr. Mercula have been together. They live together in Florida. And I don't know if anybody knows, Dr. Mercula is a very well-known doctor, and he's been around for decades. And he has gone, even though he does allopathic medicine, he has also pretty much on the lean towards the holistic approach of medicine. So, and she's a journalist. And so she, between his expertise and her expertise, she does a lot of research about vaccines and things like that. So we're going to talk about vaccines, but we do have a caller. And, Joel, is it okay if we take this caller?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. I'm going to bring him or her on. See what happens. Hey, welcome to Paranormal Horizons. Who are we
with? Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
Hi,
Sherry.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Well, I'm all right.
Good.
I hated to bomb your show again, but I wanted to talk about vaccines a little bit. So,
well, we'd actually been talking about you calling in before we came on because I didn't have a real good chance to look. I mean, I watched the video and I listened to what she was saying, but I didn't really have a lot of chance. And you know, first and foremost, with anything that we do, paranormal, anything we do, Michael and I are researchers. That is what we do. We research things. We do experiments. We test things. We are the research side of the paranormal. And that's with anything we do. I mean, if you've listened to us talk before, you know that we've done cold case files. We've done, you know, all a different whole other spectrum, not just dealing with paranormal. So when I sent Michael a link to that video. He was the one that actually sat and had the chance to really research and look into the video and the people in it, or not the people in it, but the terms, what the medication was, things like that.
Michael, don't ever think that you're bombing our show. You are always welcome to join in. You know that. You're always, always welcome. So don't ever think that. And it's always refreshing to have somebody as intelligent and as loving as you are to just be on the show and you do your research. It helps us.
Yeah, this one kind of got me a little bit. You better jump into it. How you want? Wait a minute.
So I sent a video. A girlfriend of mine from Colorado. She's in alternative medicine, and she sent me a video about somebody possibly taking the vaccine, and it was a box. And she is a doctor, a regular allopathic doctor from the UK. And apparently she went and did her research on what the vaccine's ingredients are. So I wanted to share that with, you know, people that might be interested. And it's like, wow, that might be a very good subject to talk about. So I shared the vaccine story with a couple people. They say, okay, you know, make up your own mind. You can believe whatever you want, but at least have an open mind and do your research. Hey, Michael, what did you come across from that video?
Well, she said to not believe her, to do your own research. Well, that's what I do anyway. So that's what I did. It says, or she claimed on there a couple of things. She said that the vaccine contained lung tissue derived from a 14-week-old aborted Caucasian male fetus. There was actually a study that was done. It was an independent study done at the University of Bristol in the UK. The male fetal tissue was obtained from the fetus that was aborted voluntarily in the 1960s and replicated. Now, it's lung tissue, and that's important in this case, but it's not in the vaccine. It was actually used, it's what they call a cell line. The vaccine was tested into the cell line to test its effectiveness against COVID. And then it's refined, and the vaccine contains no fetal tissue after it's done. The cell line is simply used to test the whether or not the vaccine works. So there is no fetal tissue in the vaccine. I went online. I checked this out, and I can read it if you like, because it's even a little over my head, some of it. And I'll just read it here. It says AZD1222 was not developed using MRC5 cell lines, which is what she mentioned in her video. The study, which was published on Research Square and was referred to by the user, is an independent study led by scientists at the University of Bristol. To test the efficiency of the potential vaccine prior to human trial. It tested this by observing how AZD1222 gets to work when inserted into a human cell line. An example, MRC5 cell lines. Cell lines are basically like test samples, okay, from what I understand. It's not the same thing as developing a vaccine whereby MRC5 is an ingredient. It's not. It's simply tested through the cell line to see whether or not it actually works against the virus. AZD1222/CH, and she mentioned this also, CHAD0x1, that's NCOV19, which is COVID, is a weakened and non-replicating version of the common cold virus, which is an adenovirus taken from chimpanzees, which has been engineered to contain instructions for creating the spike protein SARS-CoV-2. Now, SARS is sudden adult respiratory syndrome, which is a separate, it's not really a disease, it's more of a condition you get from diseases. The respiratory syndrome is like what happens with COVID. Your lungs fill with fluid, you can't breathe. People wind up on ventilators. They can't breathe because their lung tissue is full of fluid. They're basically drowning. So they ventilate so they can breathe. But SARS-CoV-2 is what this tests for. The virus that causes COVID-19 is actually SARS-CoV-2. That's the virus that causes COVID. The vaccine, THAD0X1, which is NCOV-19, uses what they call a T-Rex 293 HEK cell in the virus propagation stage. Now, a lot of this stuff, like I said, it's over my pay grade. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an immunologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not Dr. Fauci. If I had Dr. Fauci's smarts, I would not be here, no offense. But from what I gather, from what I found, there is no embryonic cell in that vaccine. As far as the assertion of needing a some kind of an artificial intelligence program or whatever because of side effects and that kind of thing, I found an article here published by The Lancet, which is it's medical doctors. It's a publication of, like the medical journals. It's a medical journal, mm-hmm. basically. And they talk about the different I'm sorry, my brain's flaking a little bit. I'm tired. Different side effects of the COVID vaccines. Of course, they have to test these before they're put into mass distribution to the public. You know, they go through all kind of trials. They go through trials and they're replicated things to make sure that they're the same, and they go through limited human trials to check for side effects. And then if there's any kind of side effects at all, then the trial's put on hold and the whole thing is reevaluated. They don't just let somebody have a bunch of side effects for a vaccine and still put it out. That's not the way it works. If they have a test group of, I don't know how many people they have, but if they have a test group of 20 people and a number of them have some kind of a side effect, they got to find out what's going on. Because, you know, you figure 20 people is not a great big number, but you multiply 20 people times the number of people you're going to give the vaccine to, you know, that's a lot of people that could have an issue. So they have to make sure that it's safe for the vast majority of people. Now, some people are going to have side effects. Some people have side effects to a flu vaccine. You know, there are people that get a flu vaccine and get sick or have issues.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, I mean, and some people take a vaccine for the flu and don't have any problem at all except for a sore arm. You know, it just depends on the individual when you think about, because everybody's different. Their bodies are going to react to a different way to a vaccine. Because vaccines essentially are fighting viruses, which are living things. And viruses mutate, you know. So you have to be careful with that. So they want to make sure that the vaccine they're giving is going to take care of the virus that they've got now. I mean, like, for example, smallpox. You know, the smallpox vaccine pretty much wiped out smallpox. Well, in some parts of the world, there are people now, the kids are getting smallpox, because the vaccine now doesn't cover it the way it used to because it's mutated.
Well,
you know?
See, actually, Sherry and I were actually talking about that before we came on the air. As I made the comment earlier, you know, I did live in Canada for over a decade. And Canada was kind of one of the front lines in the anti-vaccine, I guess, movement or whatever you want to call it. Well, they are seeing that they are seeing viruses that have been eliminated in the past kind of making a comeback due to the fact there are so many children now that have not been vaccinated. Their parents chose not to vaccinate the kids, so the kids are catching them. And every time a virus is caught, it has a chance to mutate and become something different. You know, like Michael said, a virus is a living thing. We don't think of it as such, but it is. It is actually a living organism inside of you. And it can mutate and change and become something different while it's there. Well, if you're vaccinated for I was born in the 70s, so I'm vaccinated for the chicken pox was around in the 70s and the 80s. So these kids now that are catching it, if I come up to one of them that it's changed, I'm not vaccinated for that. I can get it. And in some cases, they get much, much more severe. Like I have a good friend that caught a different strand of the chicken pox as an adult when she was in the service in Germany, and she's deaf in one ear. You know, she was like hospitalized where you get the chicken pox when you're a kid, you get a rash, and you know, it's not pleasant, but it's not really life-threatening. Well, with her, it became life-threatening. And it did physical permanent damage to her in the time that she had it because it was not something that her body was able to fight off because of the vaccination. It was something different. It was the chicken pox, but it was not the same one. Like Michael was pointing out with the flu, there's actually the flu vaccines now cover so many different flus than like they did even 5 years ago, because we have different versions of the flu that end up becoming prevalent over time. Every time somebody catches it, it changes a little bit. Then somebody else catches it, changes a little bit more. And by the time you're done, you're creating a different monster than you had at the beginning. And that's the same thing that they're seeing now with smallpox, measles, mumps, rubella, chicken pox, things like that, things that we haven't really had to deal with in massive outbreaks in almost a century because of the vaccines that have been made.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I think that putting out something like that kind of, I don't know. To me, it goes against collective good because that, you know, I'm trying to be tactful, but when you've got a pandemic going on, and even just in the U.S., according to the numbers that are put out, I don't know if the numbers are all totally accurate or not. I'm not saying they are or not, because I don't know.
I have my doubt on that.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I can't say I'm not involved in that enough to know the exact details. You know, I have to go by what I'm told. But I know that people are sick. I know people have died. I know that a vaccine is the only way that's actually going to have a chance of stopping it. And to put out something that might make somebody not use a vaccine, to me, is disgraceful. I certainly wouldn't do that. That's just me. That's what I think. I don't know. I mean, I know where she got her information from. I read it, but it was taken wildly out of context. Like I said, it was a line that was used. It was used to test the effectiveness of the vaccine. It was not part of the vaccine itself. So, you know, I don't know where they got that from, but clearly they were in error on that point. As far as the side effects go, like I said, Every vaccine, everything that you take is going to, every medication you take has side effects. And there are some people that are more prone to side effects than others. But given the fact that we're in a global pandemic, and at the moment, at least to the writing of one article I read, there's like 137 different vaccines being developed by different companies. You know, like if you get a blood pressure pill, you know, one company will make it one way, and another company will make something different. It's a different formula, you know, to do the same thing. They're not going to be exactly the same. And every drug company is making vaccines, trying to get one that's got, you know, got the best success rate, and they're all made a little bit different. They all have to go through testing by whatever body that they use, the FDA in America or whatever they use in the UK or wherever, you know, has to be tested. And some states, even like New York State, I know, will do its own test concurrent with the FDA to make sure that the vaccine was done, you know, in a proper order. So everything's been, you know, the rules all been followed about how it's done.
I was fantastic with the video. I didn't do any research, to be honest with you. It was just very interesting. I like to look at different points of view. It's just not one way, and just take a proactive approach to what you feel you need for your body. So that was just something that's not shown, definitely.
But, you know, like I said, as far as I can tell, from what research I've done, like I said, I'm not a doctor or an immunologist or a serologist or anything, but from what I understand, and it is a complicated subject, you know, it's not like falling out of an easy chair to figure it out. You know, the points that she came up with, from what I can tell, are not founded.
So what is it, that box that you got? What was the box that she had? She's reading off the label.
Exactly where she got that box myself, because that's actually a pharmacy box. Those things are not made until the end when they're ready to ship that to ship it out to be used.
Yeah, and the
trying to see one of those, and I'm wondering if somebody maybe made one. That's the problem with so much information now. We are living in an age of information where information is coming at us so fast and from so many sources. It's so hard to tell what is what's the truth from what's a lie, but just it's so hard to be able to find where something came from. Because I mean, it's like something, and I believe I've talked about it on here before. If not, I've definitely talked about it on our show, Slender Man. Everyone talks about I've seen Slender Man, and oh, I heard this story about Slender Man, and I heard that story about Slender Man. I can sit here right now and pull up in exact detail when, where, why, and how Slender Man was created.
Can you tell a fictional character. Listeners that don't know who Slender Man is, can you tell the listener what Slender Man is? Who is he, or what he's like, and that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, Slender Man basically is this creature, or whatever you want to call it, typically is seen in something like a black suit with a white shirt and no face. It's extraordinarily tall. Some accounts have put it to like 8 to 10 feet tall. Some have like tentacles coming out, others don't. And it is supposed to basically be after children. If that is the thing with it, it's usually in playground, schools, things like that. And that's just the way that it was created. The person,
and
honestly,
possibly,
the Slender Man was created. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there.
Tentacles out of what? You said tentacles, sometimes tentacles from where?
They. It's,
oh, Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Got it.
You know, but it's not real. Yeah. It was a work of fiction.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually created for a contest in a Photoshop thread on Reddit.
Oh, wow.
And
really?
It was never intended to be real.
The character Slenderman, this is the exact contest. It was done for Halloween. Create a creepy picture and give it a backstory. So a man made a picture of this figure back in the fog in the woods at a school playground. And he wrote the story of Slenderman. And everyone said, hey, this is actually really cool. It's creepy, and you got this story. You know, there's all these kids out on the playground playing, and then you get this creepy story to go with it. And that was like people fell in love with him. They asked him, can you tell us more? Do you have another Slenderman story? Well, he's like, well, I can, you know, come up with one, and that's exactly how I did. And it just kind of snowballed from there. He made new stories up, and he made new pictures and things like that. And it got popular, and it got picked up from there, and it got put on other sites, and it got put up to another site, and then it goes to another. Well, by the time it hit the 4th, 5th, 6th, 10th, 120th, you know, 5 millionth site, the actual origin of where it came from got lost. And it goes from being a really cool story made up for a contest to being an actual legend when the legend didn't exist until like 2008,
2009. Wow. Huh, I didn't know that. That's new information.
And, you know, see, and that's just, this is not a lot of people did, but I actually had somebody get in touch with us and was talking about Slenderman and how they had seen it. And this was also during a time where, I don't know, probably a lot of the people listening have heard about the Slenderman attempted murder. Basically what happened was two little girls convinced a third girl to go into the woods with them, another friend of theirs, and one of the girls stabbed the other one, Jesus, I think it was 16 or 17 times.
Yeah, a whole bunch.
And almost killed her because she was told, she had heard a voice tell her that if she did not sacrifice this friend of hers to Slenderman, that Slenderman would kill her family. Well, luckily, the girl that got stabbed survived. And sadly, they did find out that the young girl has early onset schizophrenia. So she did actually hear voices coming from the woods that told her to kill her friend for Slenderman, or Slenderman would kill her and her family. You know, so, you know, luckily, like I said, the poor little girl survived. The other girl is getting help, the help that she needs. And her other, the little friend that was with her, you got to remember, I think the oldest girl involved in this was 13 or 14. So you got to think, at 13 years old, this little girl is terrified. She's actually hearing voices in the woods that are telling her to kill her friend to save her family. Well, the two that were involved in the crime they're actually getting help. They are being evaluated and worked on in a mental institution rather than like going to jail or something like that. Because, I mean, there was no need. As soon as they started talking to this one girl, they found out, okay, she's actually schizophrenic. And the last, then they, you know, the other one was, well, she was hearing voices and this, these things were telling her to do this. Of course, she tried to help her friend. So that was where it came in. But that's when Slenderman really hit its peak about, God, what did you say, Michael, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah,
they
about,
even made a
about
movie
bad.
About it. But it's kind of, anytime you deal with anything on the internet, like this lady who got this box, okay, there was a good chance that somebody took a picture of this box and sent it to somebody else, that sent it to somebody else, that sent it to somebody else, that sent it to her. And now she's been given this picture of this box, regardless of how it was created. if this was something they printed, made in Photoshop, if this was something they printed
well,
off
that's,
at home,
that's the thing.
Or something
that's
they
the
actually
thing.
Stuck in their pocket and stole from AstraZeneca.
You can take a picture like that and download it. It's digital. You can alter the writing on it to say whatever you want. You know,
boy, our world really changed. Wow.
I mean, that doesn't just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's like, you know,
well, see,
that's the thing we were talking about the other night.
It happens,
I mean,
so often.
The internet is not news. Facebook is not a news source. Neither is Twitter. You know, it used to be in this country that when Walter Cronkite said it on the evening news, you could bet your butt on it because it had been fact-checked 15 ways to Jesus. You know? But on the internet, anybody can say anything and none of it's fact-checked. You can say anything
well,
you want.
It is a thing that anybody, what I always warn people with is the fact that, like I said, you can have someone that it goes back into the old urban legend. How many times have you heard the story of, you know, this happened to my friend, my best friend's cousin's dog's butler? You know, they give it a real source.
Mm-hmm.
So then when somebody else hears it, well, my friend said it happened to someone they know. Well, then it becomes different than, you know, like if I walk up and told you, you know, like, you know, it happened to my best friend's dog's butler. You know, they're going to be like, your best friend's dog got a butler, you know. But if I say, hey, my best friend knows somebody has happened to him, well, there you have it as a direct correlation. You've got one person saying they know somebody that has happened to him. You have a direct chain of events. So, like, that's what I'm thinking with this picture. She had this picture, you know. She may have been sent this to somebody that sent it to her saying, you know, oh, well, somebody knows about, they must have got it from this place. Well, then, you know, the truth gets muddled. And then by the time it gets to the end of the line, the person may have the best intentions and maybe they're looking this stuff up and maybe, oh, my God, this is all real. But the thing of it is, the origins have been lost. And you're back to your best friend's dog's butler. And that's where it all gets murky, you know, with a lot of stuff. Like, you know, I applaud the woman that was in the video because one of the first things she said is something we have preached for years and years and years and years. Don't believe them. Research it. Look it up.
Yeah, I don't.
Do it yourself.
I don't
do your own footwork.
Don't believe nothing I say. Go look it up.
Yeah. It's funny, man. My friend, you know, I'm a wrestling fan. I watch wrestling all the time. Matter of fact, I'm watching Survivor Series right now. Me and my friends would be sitting here watching wrestling, and they'll be, well, didn't so-and-so do this on that match? Why don't I? And both of us got our phones out. Click, 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 click. You know, we got to look it up, you know. And that's the way it's got to be with everything because memories are faulty, you know. And like I said, you get the ending or the beginning gets muddled as the ending hit, like a movie that goes too long or a story.
You know, and the main thing too with looking up, when you look up stuff for research, use more than one source. Don't just use the one that fits what you believe. You know, I mean, I can have a theory and I can find a paper from somebody who will back it up, but I need to find all the information. So you need to look up stuff from more than one source and verify it from more than one place because one person that you read could be in error, you know, so you get more than one source to corroborate what you got, and then you decide how you want to proceed, you know. You just don't take it blindly that a person that says, oh, this is what it said, and that's true, you know. You have to do your own thing, look at different sources, and see what's going on. I tell you, research
and also
anything, I don't know what it is.
And also, I have to give a user beware for anyone that looks up medical symptoms on Google. That thing asked me three times if I was pregnant. And to this date, I'm absolutely positive I was never pregnant. So Google is also, you know, just a user beware. If you ever look up medical symptoms on Google, you might want to get a second opinion.
Yes, and you should never.
Yeah, don't be a doctor trying to find out what your symptoms are and say, "Oh my gosh, I'm dying or something."
Well, I had torn my small intestine actually, and I had these symptoms, and I kept looking them up, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. I got out, I started looking it up on Google because they weren't going away, and as I'm putting in the symptoms, the first thing it asks is if you're male or female. And I thought it was male. And then, like, two screens later, it asks me, is pregnancy a possibility? And I'm like, no, I don't think I'm pregnant. You know, as far as I know, it doesn't work that way, but, I mean, I could be wrong. But, no, I was pretty sure I wasn't pregnant. And as it turned out, I torn the small intestine and didn't realize it for a month.
You know, I mean, and as much as this is probably going to get me in trouble, and even though I haven't known to look up stuff on there myself, I don't even know if I can say this or not, but you really can't use Wikipedia for a qualified source.
If you can find the information verified from somewhere else, Wikipedia is okay. If you can use you got to remember something with Wikipedia, and this is something to be cautious about. Anyone can edit a Wikipedia page. Anyone. It does not have to be fact-checked. I can edit it. You can edit it. I remember, going back to wrestling, there's a guy who used to be in charge of WCW named Derek Bischoff, and he filed for a correction on his page because it had his birthday wrong. And he was like, you know, just letting you guys know you had the wrong birthday for, you know, they asked him why, and he's like, well, I'm Eric Bischoff, so I think I know when I was born. You know, it's like, but anyone can edit it. And there's just, you know, there's a lot of, if you want to sit down and you find something on Wikipedia, and then if you look at the bottom, there's always a list of sources. And if you go to those sources and you see that they're legitimate sources and they say the same thing, then you can pretty well guarantee, okay, this is true. But if you're one of these and it's just doesn't really have any sources listed or something like that, then you might want to be a little cautious and keep doing some digging, but it'll give you a good idea where to start.
Good point. Very good point. Well, I like the way you talked about these, what do you call the sweater man, you know. I got a question, and we've been talking, we're kind of all across the board, but it's our show, and anybody wants to call and ask any questions or contribute, you can call it 1215, and it's 383-3999. Again, it's 1215-383-3999. Joel, I have a question to ask. I know you've been up in Canada for at least a decade, like you said earlier, but I have a question. What do you think about skinwalker? What's your take on that?
You know, there are a lot of legends, especially through the Native community, because there are multiple. They do share a lot of similarities, but at the same time, will differ in a lot of ways. And all of them have some variation of the skinwalker, and you know, just the basic shapeshifter kind of a lot of legends start off with either somebody has actually been living and then cursed by cursed or excommunicated or something of that nature, but almost all of them have a legend leading back to that. And I think really, when you look at like multiple areas and multiple people that have very similar beliefs or legends and descriptions of things and other stuff like that, I think when you really dig into that and you're looking back, there's got to be some truth of something in there somewhere, because you couldn't have their tribes literally that were so far apart they never knew the other one existed until modern times, yet here they are with the same setups and same legends and same things like that. The Skinwalkers, I can't really remember a lot. I mean, I have heard a couple of stories up in where I was at in Canada, because I was in extreme northwest British Columbia. But those were not as prevalent as a lot of the other shapeshifters. I mean, up there, the basic same, I guess you would say, the basic same legend and mythos up there was something called the Otter Man. The Otter
what
Man
is
was
that?
Something
never
that,
heard of it.
No, it is a shapeshifter and something
okay.
that could take the form of anything. But the way it was, I guess you'd say the way it was given away was its teeth. And this was actually told to me by the person that it happened to. They said that they had let their dog out one night. It was late there. It was the last
mm-hmm.
time they were letting the dog off the porch. And there was a man standing at the edge of the walkway. And the dog started freaking out. And he would step up and then he'd stop. And the person didn't recognize him. Now, the village I lived in was very small. I think the one time at the census there was less than 1,200 people in the village. You were recognized. If you were not from there, you were recognized quick. You know, this is a very small community. Literally everyone knew everyone. And so she started asking, she's like, you know, this is late at night. She's like, can I help you? Who are you? You know, and he kept stepping up and she's like, no, I would appreciate you stay down there. And she kept arguing with him because this strange guy kept on trying to like walk up to her porch. And when he smiled, he had the teeth of an otter, the sharp, jagged teeth. They were not human teeth. And it's funny because the legends in the native communities are alive and well. When it came out, what I did, you know, being a paranormal researcher, doing, you know, podcasts and things like that, I was getting a lot of stories from up there. I would have people tell me because, like I said, they would see me and they knew who I was. And they would tell me, well, you know, so-and-so saw the Otter Man, or you should talk to them, or, you know, just another one in the village where I was at was very, during the holiday, or not holidays, during winter primarily, there was an old woman that used to, supposedly, I guess you'd say the legend would go, she had a big basket and she would try to kidnap children. And the one story that I was told, one was by a younger boy that said he was chased by her. He heard her crying and he just saw this old woman and he saw the back of her head and the clothes she was wearing. And so he thought she had fallen in the ice or something. And when he started to walk up to ask if she needed help, she jumped to her feet and started chasing him. He told me that story, and he barely made it in the house. And another one that was told to me is a man was actually sitting in his house, and they heard running on his roof. This was, like I said, this is extreme northwest British Columbia. It was 120 miles from Alaska. And about 250, maybe 300 miles from the Arctic Circle. So I was in a very cold area. We had a lot of snow. There was tons of snow on the ground. And they actually had four witnesses to this woman running on his roof. There was no way possible for her to get to this roof. I mean, literally no way possible. It was not like this was, you know, they could just pop a ladder up and her climb up. And plus, this woman, if the descriptions are right, she should be in her 80s or 90s. You know, those are it's strange to, like I said, to be in this like environment where these people are, where these things are alive and well. Shapeshifters, skinwalkers, Sasquatch, Wendigos. These things exist in these communities still. They're still talked about. They're still, you know, everything is still thought about up there, and it's treated with respect, and it's treated as reality. These are things that we live with in the normal day-to-day world.
What's your thought on that, Michael?
Well, you know, it's kind of like Bigfoot. Almost every native tribe has something that resembles Bigfoot. Different names, obviously, you know, according to their different origin stories or whatever, but they all have something that resemble, you know, a large hairy man. And a lot of these cultures didn't communicate with each other. They were separated by lots of distance, or they were actually enemies with each other. They didn't communicate well with each other. You know, they fought each other, but they all had stories of something that we would consider to be a Bigfoot. So I think that on some level, you know, you hate to say it, but there almost has to be a grain of truth in everything like that, because they came from somewhere. You know, the origins go back God knows how long, but you know, all these native cultures in Canada and the US and I guess everywhere have their origin stories in their things like the Otter Man, the Skinwalker, and the Wendigo. You know, and who's to say what they are now, but, you know, they're still believed. It's actually like in the Navajo people, you know, the Navajo people, they won't even speak of the Skinwalker. They won't even say the name, because they believe that saying the name, well, even saying the name will bring it to you. You know, they don't even want it, they won't even talk about it. The younger ones might, but the elders won't. You know, so finding someone to actually talk about it is even hard sometimes. The events at if you've heard about Skinwalker Ranch out in Utah, the Utah Basin, the area out there, and George Knapp. And Colm Kelleher, the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, and also the book and the documentary that they did. And that's the range that that Bob Bigelow Aerospace, actually bought from a family that had moved in there to raise cattle, and had several paranormal events happen of various kinds, cryptids, UFOs, spirits, voices, light, portals, time slips. I mean, you name it, and it kind of run the gamut. Everything that was paranormal in one spot, they kind of had. And Mr. Bigelow, who is quite wealthy, put a team together, scientists, PhDs, researchers, security people, and they went there and investigated this place. And then George Knapp, because of his work, and George Knapp is a well-respected journalist. He's on several mainstream journalism awards and all kind of stuff, you know. And he had all this stuff documented, and they finally did a documentary on it. It's quite good. It's called Hunt for the Skinwalker. If anybody gets a chance to watch it, I'm not sure where they find it. If it's on Amazon or Netflix, it might be. I don't know. I think it is, actually. I think that's where I saw it. I'm not sure which one it's on now. I don't remember. But a lot of the things that happened there you know, kind of resemble the Skinwalker kind of stuff. There's a lot all mixed in together there. So if you want something to look at to kind of get you in the right direction, that would probably be a place to start. There are several books on those subjects, but, you know, different people have different ideas about what it is. And so you have to kind of just use your own best judgment on it. Especially when you're dealing with legends and folklore and tribal legends and things like that. But it's quite interesting.
It is. Wow. Yes. So have you guys ever confronted one in your personal encounters? I haven't, but I hope not to anyway. Let's put it that way.
Well, I haven't. I don't know about Joe. Joe has the habit of tripping into stuff by accident, so I'm hoping he hasn't, but the day isn't over
not
yet.
At least not to my knowledge yet. Now, I will say when I was told about Otter Man being seen, I went looking.
Well, yeah, everybody but us runs. Everybody runs from stuff like that except for us. We go look for it.
Yeah, I really hoped, you know, I was right out there looking, like, for days. And I've also been looking for, like, phantom hitchhikers. And, like, you know, there's two different types of people in the world. People with enough sense to run from something and people with too much stupidity to run to it. And I'm one of those that run to it.
Oh, you do? Wow.
Yeah.
When I was in the hospital.
It's just one of the things I have to know.
Well, I was in the hospital. You know, they told me that they had a ghost in the rehab facility where I was at. It's been seen a couple of times, and one of them was quite recently, like a week before I got there. And I was like, "Oh, where's this at? I mean, can I go look?" You know, I mean, I was going to go check it out. I was all set. They wouldn't let me because of the COVID thing. But everybody else was afraid to go look, and I was going to go hunt.
Well, anyway, it's getting close, and, you know, we're sorry that Jason's not able to join us. He's been, keep him in our thoughts and prayers. He's been having a myriad of health issues, and hopefully he'll be back next week along with our other co-hosts. So, yeah, just hope the well wishes for Jason, and he just got out of the hospital, so... hope he feels better after tonight, and keep him in our prayers. But it's getting close to closing. It's almost an hour now. So anything you have to say or would like to contribute before we shut down?
Well, we could do a shameless plug for the Paranormal Night Stalker podcast, which is going to be coming up. We got to go do an episode in a little bit.
Episode tonight. Originally I was planning to do them every Sunday, and then I realized that I end up Sunday night with, you know, when I agreed to do your co-host when you need me to fill in or whatever, and all that. I thought that might be pushing it, so I think we're going to actually move it to Saturday night, because I'm usually, like I said, I'm not big on going out. The world's too people-y for me, so. I like people. I have any problem with that. I prefer to have them on, like, online or something, or be watching them on TV, not in crowds with them, unless I'm in, like, a specific mood for it, or, like I said, going to a concert or something like that. So I think we're going to be moving that to Saturday nights after tonight. But we did put out an episode sort of last week, just trying to shake the dust on it, because we haven't done anything in, what, almost 2 years?
Yeah, about that.
It's been close to 2 years. You know, I had moved back to the U.S. from Canada, and it's taken a little bit getting everything set back up, and we're slowly getting things going again.
So tell our listeners when your radio show, what it's called, and where to listen to.
We do the Paranormal with Mike Stalker, and right now we will be live on Breaker broadcast, and probably by, I'd say 12 or 1, it'll be on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Google Play, and just about
radio.
Anywhere else you can think, iHeartRadio, and just about anywhere else you can think of that you're going to find a podcast or a show. And like I'm not promising very much because, well, I don't even think I have an intro to use for our show. I had been meaning to do one, but yeah, I'm not even going to attempt a lot of that one. Say I just didn't get a chance to. But so it's still, like I said, these next few are still trying, kind of knocking the rust off of us and getting us back into the broadcasting habit. I mean, when you haven't done it for over a year. I mean, it's been close to two, but I know it's been definitely over a year. You get very rusty at it. I mean, last week was to PG it up and put it in the words of Michael, it was a monkey loving a football. Yeah, and that was basically the way it was. And then, like I said, we were supposed to go on at like 8 or 9. It took me 25 minutes to remember how to hook everything up. We didn't get on to like 8:39, you know.
You know, we couldn't find passwords and couldn't get Skype to work, and we had all kinds of stuff.
Then after I got Skype to work again, I'm like, okay, now how do I put this through Spreaker so we can actually broadcast it? And it's like, okay, yeah. So what are we going to do? And then it's just like, yeah, I'm glad we did one because, wow, it was a mess.
Wow.
It was a hot mess.
Well, I took, you know, as you guys know, I took 5 months off, you know, and I was on tour. I took some time off because I was on tour, but I needed a break and working on the other radio station, and that happened a few times, and just was having a lot of complications with the dashboard and everything. I said, fully with it. You know, I'm just going to take a break. And so I told Jason, I said, I'm really miss Reed. He said, come back on. So he says, I'd love to have you join back on. I said, okay. And I, you know, didn't want to press feelings or anything because I know Maria has really stepped in and subbed, you know, for us. And she did for the, you know, almost 5 months that I was gone. So, but it gave her a chance to, you know, take care of her stuff at the other end, you know, her house and things like that. So, you know, when it was time for me to step in, she backed out and she says, I'm gone. I'm gone completely. I said, okay. So, yeah, it's good to be back. And, you know, like you said, you know, Joel, it's a little bit rusty at first, but once you get the hang of it, we're going to just go and flow with it. It's just being back home again. So you guys are great on radio and radio voice.
Yeah, it's the old term. It's like riding a bike, you know. You might be a little iffy at first, but once you get it going again, you know exactly, you know, it's exactly like you never stopped.
Okay, well, I'm still iffy.
And the nervousness doesn't, you know, I remember when I was first on radio for the first time 5 years ago, I was so nervous. I mean, I was like shaking in my boots and my thought of my ego. How would I, you know, sound like with other people? And am I going to have any dead air space and this and that? And I remember my second show, I kept on saying, uh-huh, and I would cough and all kinds of funny things out of nervousness. But now it's just, you know, it flows pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're going to kind of conclude, and that way you can get your show on the air. I'm going to check you guys out and check them out. Check them out. What time are you going to be on tonight?
I'm thinking probably 11:30-ish, because I got to get my computer booted up and all of that.
Hey, Tom, we have
it'll be 11:30 Eastern time. 8:30 Pacific. I had to do math there in my head real quick.
Okay, so
it's a 3-hour difference.
I mean,
so it's 8:30 to it'll be 8:30 on your time, 11:30 mine.
Perfect. I'll check you guys out. In the meantime, check us on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons. If you have any suggestions or anything, just go ahead and message us, Joel, Jason, or I, or Joe Panohu will go and respond. In the meantime, if anybody wants to get a hold of me for traditional Chinese medicine, I'm a practitioner in medical Qigong therapy and also a medical medium in traditional Chinese medicine and a psychic medium. So if you want to hit me up, get a hold of me on Facebook, Psychic Medium Sherry, it's C-H-E-R-I, or you can get a hold of me. I don't know what the tiny URL, I should be using that, but the long version of my website.
Yeah, I can't remember, and I made it. I think it was Sherry Webb.
I know, I remember. I wrote it down somewhere. But anybody wants to get a hold of me on my website, get a hold of me at www.psychicmediumsherry. Again, it's spelled C-H-E-R-I.weebly.com. So you can get a hold of me, go under the contact form, and get a hold of me, and I will call you in between clients. I'm trying to be as Johnny on the spot as possible. I don't like people hanging. So that's pretty much about it. And next Sunday, hopefully, we'll have Jason back. If not, we'll have Joe, and we'll talk about something else that's interesting. But in the meantime, hey, guys, thank you for supporting Paranormal Horizons. We really appreciate you. And thank you for just following us and just being part of Paranormal Horizons family. So in the meantime, take care, and we'll see you next week at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Paranormal Horizons Blog Talk Radio. Take care. Peace.